Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save big money at
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
More raw courtroom audio from the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial is on the way.
Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment.
From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Sir, do you recall the question?
I don't.
Do you have any reason to believe that live ammunition was planted by disgruntled crew members who left that morning?
I do not.
And based on everything that you heard when you were in the church after lunch, do you have any understanding of who the person was that loaded that gun?
Yes.
Who is the person that you believe loaded the gun?
The armor.
And who's that person?
Hannah Gutierrez Reed.
And do you see her sitting in court today?
I have seen her. She's behind you, yes.
Okay. And just for the record, can you point out what Ms. Gutierrez is wearing?
Gray blazer with a black collar, hair in a ponytail.
Will the record reflect that the defendant has been identified?
Yes.
At any point in time when you were in the church after lunch, did you hear anyone tell Ms. Gutierrez to leave the church?
No.
I'll pass the witness.
Cross-examine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sir, when you started your testimony, early on in your testimony, you talked about being on 12 prior movies with armor, something like that. Recall that?
Yes.
And you talked about you're used to seeing ex-cops, ex-military. Remember that?
Yes.
As the armor, the primary, were those all males?
I can't give you a definitive on that. I think there may have been a female or two, female armor that I worked with in the past.
But you just didn't, you weren't used to seeing a young 24-year-old armor, were you? A female.
I wasn't used to seeing a young 24-year-old armor.
And a female.
That doesn't play into it for me. So whether male or female doesn't really matter in that case.
Okay, and I want to get into another, and we'll work through these topics, but you've talked a lot about things that you think Ms. Gutierrez-Reed did. One of the things you didn't tell the jury is that you've sued Rust Production and Alec Baldwin, haven't you?
I have.
You what?
Yes.
You have a pending lawsuit right now, don't you?
As far as I know, it's pending, yes, sir.
And your attorney's in the courtroom?
He is indeed.
Been watching your testimony?
Clearly.
See how you do?
You'd have to ask him, sir.
Okay. And you've sued Alec Baldwin and Rust Production, but you have not sued Hannah Gutierrez Reed, have you?
Again, you'd have to talk to my counsel about who I've actually sued.
Have you read the lawsuit?
I perused it.
You perused it? What does that mean? Did you read it, all the paragraphs, or did you just read page one and just said, knock yourself out, lawyer, go ahead?
I think I got past page one, but since I'm not in your industry, I don't understand what a lot of that is, and I trust my counsel to represent me.
It seems like you're making a lot of opinions earlier on what armors do. You filed a lawsuit. It seems like you could have read your lawsuit, right?
Objection, relevance to whether or not he read his lawsuit?
Well, I want to ask if he's read these paragraphs, because he has a totally different story in his lawsuit than he did today. So I want to ask him if he's read and adopted this lawsuit.
And I think he's already answered that.
Did you approve your lawsuit being filed?
I must have.
Because it was filed. Right?
Sorry.
Okay. And in that lawsuit, you're suing for a variety of things, punitive damages, right?
Again, I'm not a lawyer, sir, so you'd have to discuss that with my counsel.
Well, you know you're suing for loss of enjoyment of life.
Certainly.
Okay. And you know you're suing for medical expenses and non-medical expenses, right?
I understood that to be the case, yes.
So out of this tragedy, you claim that you have a blast injury, right?
I believe that's in the documents you're referring to, yes, sir.
Did you go to the doctor for a blast injury?
I have talked to my physician about what happened that day, yes.
You've talked to your physician? Did they do any tests? Did they take any x-rays? Did you just tell him I was in this?
I described the incident, and he did what he felt was appropriate.
What was that?
I'm not going to discuss my medical treatment with you, sir.
Okay. Well, so you're, in any event, you're suing Rust Production and Alec Baldwin, right?
Yes.
And you're here telling this jury all about Ms. Gutierrez-Reed, but in your lawsuit, you talk about defendants, Rust Production and Alec Baldwin, cut corners and cut costs, and it endangered the cast and crew. So you believe that, right? Rust Production?
I do.
And you believe that their hiring of Gabrielle Pickle and Roe Walters to manage the budget was not a good idea because they have cost-cutting problems on prior sets. You believe that?
Correct.
Okay. And you also believe that David Halls had prior safety issues, correct?
Yes.
On a prior set, he didn't manage that safely, did he?
That was my understanding.
Okay. You also believe, you knew that Ms. Gutierrez-Reed had asked for more training days as an armorer. You knew that.
I don't. In the form of a question, there needs to be a question. It sounds like a statement.
Overruled.
Okay. You're aware that Ms. Gutierrez-Reed asked Gabrielle Pickle for more time as an armorer, more training days, and more armorer days. You're aware of that?
I became aware of that after two people were shot. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, it's in your lawsuit. It's part of your lawsuit.
Okay.
Okay. So, let me ask you this. Are you hoping that you can come in and testify here today and something happens to Ms. Gutierrez-Reed, it'll help your lawsuit?
I'm hoping for justice, sir. Two people were injured on a film set. That has not only affected me, that has affected the film industry.
And you want money for that?
I want justice.
You want money? Your lawsuit doesn't say justice, it says money.
Again, you'd have to...
for money. Isn't that correct?
Mr. Bowles needs to let the witness answer the question. That he's being argumentative. This needs to be a cross.
I'll let him answer. Okay. I agree. You're suing for money.
I asked my lawyer to help bring justice in this case. And if that doesn't mean criminal, then I would assume that means some sort of monetary justice.
Yes. Okay. Now, you also understood that Mr. Halls did not post the safety bulletins onto any of the call sheets, correct?
I understood that production did not furnish us with safety bulletins, sir.
Okay, so production. So that may not have been Mr. Halls. It may have been somebody else in production.
Again, production is all-encompassing of Mr. Halls and the other ADs that would generate that information.
And you also indicate that Mr. Halls was the overall safety coordinator on set, correct?
That's typically one of the many jobs of the first assistant director, yes, sir.
And so it's his responsibility to convene the safety meetings you testified to, right?
Typically it is, yes.
And in this particular set, he did not do that on every day of the filming, did he?
Not to my recollection.
And in fact, the day that this, you described it as the camera crew walked off the day of the shooting incident, you described it as more chaotic than it had been, and that day there was no safety meeting convened by Mr. Halls, was there?
Not that I was invited to. Okay.
You're also, you've indicated that Mr. Baldwin didn't follow gun safety rules. You believe that, right?
I do.
And you believe that Ms. Gutierrez-Reed was operating in two jobs, in props and armor, and you thought that was dangerous, that production did that, didn't you?
I did.
And you felt it was dangerous and part of your lawsuit that they should not have put her in those two positions. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
And in fact, sir, you've never been on all of your 12 prior movies with armors. You've never been on a set where an armorer was part-time, right?
I don't recall ever working on a set that had a part-time armorer, no, sir.
Okay. So this would be your first one on the Rust set where they had part-time?
Potentially.
Okay. And in fact, because it's in your suit, you thought that was a terrible idea, right?
If it says so in the suit, then I must have said that, yes. Okay.
And this was a gun-heavy set with guns operating on 17 of the 21 scheduled film days, yet you knew that they weren't paying Ms. Gutierrez-Reed for more than 8 armor days, right?
I had no idea what they were paying Ms. Gutierrez.
Were you aware that whether her armor days had run out by the time of the shooting incident?
I was not privy to that information, sir.
Okay. And you're probably not also privy to the fact that she was regularly performing props duties as part of her daily duties on the set. Were you aware of that? Did you see her doing those prop duties?
I believe that it was noted on the call sheet that she had more than one responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see her, for example, rolling cowboy cigarettes, having her do jobs like that in her props duties?
Can't say that I did.
So you didn't see her all the time then?
No, because my job takes a lot of focus, and I have essentially 5 bosses at any given moment, so I have to focus on my tasks at hand.
Well, that's what you said also, that you didn't see who was in the church, or you didn't see what was happening, because you have to focus on your job. You have to focus on your camera and what you're doing with that, right? So you're not always seeing everything else around you.
I'm not necessarily seeing, but I'm trying to watch and listen to everything that I can on set.
Let me ask you about that, listening to everything. You talked about what the negligent discharge by Sarah Zachary, nothing being called out in terms of a gun being operated. Do you recall that testimony?
I do.
Now, what channel, radio channel, were you using on set, would you regularly use?
I'm a grip, so I'm always on channel 8, sir.
Channel 8. And do you understand, or did you understand, that the armor operates on channel 1, and that's when that's called out on channel 1 and it goes to David Halls? Did you know that?
If it only goes to channel 1 and Dave Halls, then somebody's failed at their job, because their job is to let everybody know what's going on with firearms and ammunition on set.
And were you aware then, sir, before you gave your testimony to the jury, that responsibility is Mr. Halls then to call out, we're going to have a gun scene? Were you aware of that?
I'm aware of what Mr. Halls' responsibilities are, certainly.
Okay, well then, why didn't you say that earlier? That when this was called out, you may have been on the wrong channel. Maybe Mr. Halls didn't call it out. Did you not know that?
I don't understand your question. I wasn't on the wrong channel. I'm on channel 8, where I'm supposed to be, sir.
Okay, well then, the failure was not Ms. Gutierrez-Reed's, which you wanted to imply to the jury. It was Mr. Halls, wasn't it?
Ms. Gutierrez-Reed loaded a firearm that killed my friend and injured a director.
I'm not talking about the incident. I'm talking about the negligent discharge with Sarah Zachary. We're talking about that incident. Now, first of all, you have no idea who loaded that weapon that Miss Zachary negligently discharged, do you?
I wasn't there when the weapon was loaded, so no.
Okay. And you have no idea, but you said earlier you don't even know if there was a bullet in it.
I saw a bullet in Joel Souza's shoulder.
I'm not talking about that, and I know you want to keep coming back to it for your lawsuit, but I'm talking about Sarah Zachary's negligent discharge.
I want to object to Mr. Bowles' tone, indicating that
please, no commentary.
Yes, I won't, Your Honor. I won't.
Thank you.
So, with regard to Sarah Zachary's negligent discharge, you have no idea whether it was a blank, whether it was a live round, you just don't know.
Correct.
Okay. Now, you talk a lot throughout your testimony about all these failures you find in Ms. Gutierrez Reed, yet in your lawsuit, it's all about production of Mr. Baldwin. Can you explain that? Why you talk about production of Mr. Baldwin in your lawsuit and not Ms. Gutierrez Reed?
I would refer you to my counsel, sir. I didn't write that lawsuit, so okay. I would refer you to my counsel for those questions.
You went after the people with money for the lawsuit, right?
And then I went after production, the people responsible for hiring the people that killed and shot someone on a film set.
And you, as part of that, talk about that the decision to hire Ms. Gutierrez Reed was motivated by production's desire to have a quick and cheap production. That was part of their desire to hire a cheaper position in that role, make her do two jobs, right?
Apparently that's what it says. That's what it says.
Okay. And you indicated that this was constantly rushed and reckless and chaotic on set, correct?
Correct.
And you heard Mr. Baldwin a couple of times at least rushing people and telling them to move, 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 right?
I did.
Okay. And did you hear Mr. Halls do that also?
I did.
Did you ever stand up to Mr. Baldwin and say, no, we're not going to move this fast?
That's not my job, sir.
Okay. And did you ever see anybody else stand up to Mr. Baldwin, tell him not to move that fast?
I don't recall anybody standing up to Mr. Baldwin on the set of Rust, sir.
Wasn't going to happen, was it?
Objection to the form of question calls for speculation.
You never saw anybody.
Restate the question.
Yes, Your Honor. You were aware, based on your seeing Mr. Baldwin, how he interacted with everybody, it was your perception nobody was going to stand up to him, wasn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, because he's well, he's running the show. He's the big boss, right?
He's the producer, one of the writers, and on the call sheet, he's number one. So, yes.
So, wouldn't you find it difficult for a 24-year-old female armor in her, as you call it, her second movie, with everybody else, grown men, not standing up to Mr. Baldwin, wouldn't you find that difficult for her also?
I wasn't in her position.
Now, you also talk about the IATSE armor. You knew that Ms. Gutierrez Reed was not yet in the union.
Actually, my understanding was it was a union show and the crew was union.
But you didn't know whether she was not union. She's not union. You didn't know that.
Mr. Bowles is testifying, Your Honor.
No. I'm asking if he's aware.
No.
But
you are
not
testifying. You've said she's not in the union. Okay? That's your testimony.
Well,
so ask it as a question rather than testifying.
Yes. Were you aware that Ms. Gutierrez Reed is not union?
I was under the impression that we were doing a union movie. Everybody on the crew was union. I didn't learn that she was not yet in the union until after.
So you did learn that after?
Correct.
Okay. And you know from your experience in over 100 credits and being on a movie, having the union behind you makes it likely that you can stand up. I mean, in other words, if there's a safety issue and you have your union behind you, you can raise that because you've got the union.
On a union movie, any crew... crew member has the support of a union, whether they're union or not. They are represented by IATSE.
Well, could you have stopped the whole production if you wanted to, if you saw all these safety issues?
I certainly could have voiced my opinion whether or not they would have honored that and stopped anything. I cannot say.
Okay, so you did say on the negligent discharges, you went to Mr. Halls and you told him you were concerned, and you told him you're concerned about safety. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you also told his second AD, Ann, you told both of them, right?
Ann was his second, just to be clear. But yes, I did mention it to Ann as well, that I was concerned and that this needed to be on the daily production report, knowing that the other producers typically read the production reports, as would the insurance company or whoever's bonding the film.
Okay, and you didn't see anybody do anything after you made those complaints?
I wouldn't necessarily see anybody do anything, because they would potentially be on Channel 1 having that conversation amongst themselves.
Well, did you see anything happen, like additional training, any kind of actions taken by Mr. Halls that you saw?
I didn't see anything change.
Okay. So the day of the incident, the day of the shooting, you indicated to Ms. Morrissey on direct that you didn't see Ms. Gutierrez read in the church, but you didn't have concerns or words to that effect, that after the firearm had come into the church, you didn't have concerns, because I think you testified the armor would check that. Is that what you said?
I believe that misstates the testimony.
Well, tell me what you said. I may have misheard it. Tell me what you said.
I don't know what you're getting at. I don't know what you want me to restate, sir.
Let me ask you, you didn't see Ms. Gutierrez read in the church?
I only heard her in the church.
Did you look around and after you heard her to see if you could see her in the church?
No.
Okay. So did you see if anybody else, Sarah Zachary from Props, was in the church?
I think we've already covered this, and no, I don't recall anybody from the props department seeing anybody from the props department in the church.
Okay. Now, Sarah Zachary, I want to talk about her for a minute. You knew, or were you aware that she would load firearms too at times?
I became aware when she had a negligent discharge on set.
Okay. Did you also ever see her loading firearms on set?
I don't recall beyond that incident her really dealing with firearms, if at all.
You know that Sarah Zachary was Hannah Gutierrez Reed's boss?
I do.
As props master? Mm-hmm. Okay. And now, earlier you talked about your understanding of armor, but isn't it true that props department is in charge of the ammunition? Those are props.
That's my understanding of how the props department works, sure.
Okay. So when you said earlier that the guns and ammo would be the armor, in reality, the ammunition falls under the props department. It's a prop.
My understanding is live ammunition is absolutely the armorer's responsibility. Any other ammunition that may be used in belts or bandoliers or strewn about on set falls under props.
Well, live ammunition is never supposed to be on the set.
When I say live ammunition, I'm referring to blanks. Okay. Something that can go bang and hurt someone.
Okay, so let's be clear. A blank is not a round with a projectile. It's not a real bullet. It's a blank that it shoots powder, right? Go ahead. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
My understanding of blanks are, it looks very much like a real bullet. They're crimped differently at the end, so they don't actually contain a bullet. But beyond that, I don't know that I would, I don't know if they're marked in any other way other than seeing the ends crimped.
Okay. And you've never been in armor yourself?
I've never been in the props department at all, no.
Or the props department. So when you make opinions about what you think, you really have no idea because you've never served in that role. It's just what you've seen over other movies?
It's what I've learned in almost 30 years in the film industry, yes.
Okay. Now, when you talked about guns being left out on the cart, I want to ask your experience in prior movies. Have you seen carts that are professional looking, that can be locked up, that an armor can use to lock up those weapons on it?
Yes, and I believe I described that earlier.
Okay. And this cart and this set was not like that.
I believe it was just kind of a more of what I would be accustomed to seeing craft services use, like an open gray plastic cart.
And were you aware that it took over a week for the props department even to get that cart?
I'm not in the props department. I'm not really aware of what they do.
Okay.
In that sense.
So this cart that they had on set that they were supposed to use for their firearms, it on this Rust set, it wouldn't lock. It was more like something you would see in the crafts department. And production provides that, right?
Again, I don't know what the props department brought or what they were provided. A lot of us rent the production companies our appropriate gear. Some of that may be carts. Some of that may be tools.
Okay, so you don't know.
No.
You also don't know if the firearms that you said were laying out from time to time on the cart were real firearms or were plastic, were replica. You don't know that for sure.
I can tell you that the firearms certainly looked real, as they would reflect the sunlight. They were certainly metal firearms, whether they were actual firing gun. There may have been a long gun or two that had some sort of sock or some soft covering on them, sure.
And the handguns had the socks too. You never saw those?
I don't recall seeing the handguns in any kind of container, sir.
Okay. Did you ever hear Hannah call out the load amounts? You testified earlier you didn't, but you weren't always around those scenes when Hannah Gutierrez-Reed was dealing with the firearms, were you?
I was on set 95% or more of the time, so there may have been an instance where she called out whatever power that plank load would have been, and I missed it.
And again, if she's calling it out on Channel 1, and Mr. Halls is supposed to then communicate that, and you're on another channel, she may have called it out and you didn't hear it.
Well, the protocols on set typically is the armorer would call that out verbally. What she does on her radio, I don't know. I'm not on that channel. And then the first assistant director would parrot that and let us all know to make sure there was redundancy and that we heard it was hot or cold.
And sir, are you sitting now under oath telling this jury that Hannah never called out the loads that were used on that set? Are you going to tell them that under oath, that you never heard that?
Objection, Your Honor. That has not been his testimony, and he's already answered this question.
It's been asked and answered.
So other than reporting to Mr. Halls and the second, did you ever report this to anybody else if you were so concerned about it? Did you report it to Gabrielle Pickle? Did you report it to anybody else? Did you report it to Joel Souza?
I believe that Joel Souza and Helena, before she was killed, had a conversation about some of the safety issues.
That wasn't my
payroll
question.
Issues, and I did notify Local 80, which was the union that represented me while I was making that movie.
When did you notify Local 80?
You'd have to contact Local 80. It was early in the movie, and I can't give you a definitive date, sir.
Well, no, I'm asking you. I'm not going to contact Local 80. They're not here in court.
He's already indicated he doesn't remember.
Judge, can I do my cross-examination?
Well, sure. If you do it properly, you can.
I'm doing it properly.
Listen. Yeah. Ask the question about the date. He said he didn't remember, and then you started to tell him you weren't going to ask that person and that he was going to tell you in so many words, okay?
Yes.
So let's not be argumentative. Let's just ask him. You can ask him one more time.
So do you have any idea what date you may have contacted Local 80?
I believe it was in the first week of production.
Okay. So the first week of production was before any accidental discharges would have happened.
That doesn't mean I wasn't concerned about safety.
And I understand, and my question was not that. I understand you were concerned. My question was, that was before any of the accidental discharges.
I don't recall exactly if that was before or after, but once I contact Local 80, that doesn't mean I stopped talking to Local 80 throughout production. So I think we had more than one conversation about it.
Because you're contacting Local 80, did they do anything about it?
My understanding was they contacted the New Mexico local, which is 480, and a representative from 480 showed up, and possibly a representative from the camera union, Local 600, also showed up.
What happened at that point? Did they do anything?
They have conversations that I'm not part of, sir. Yeah.
Ultimately, the camera crew was disgruntled, and they walked off the day before the shooting. Part of that was their hotel situation. You were aware of that, weren't you?
I don't know about disgruntled, but I know that they were promised hotels or housing, and those promises never came to fruition.
Okay. And so they left, and the next day when there had to be a new camera crew, they had to get some more people. You were aware Video Village was down?
I was not.
You didn't know Video Village was down at all?
Asked and answered, Your Honor.
You, sir, you said earlier Baldwin always wanted to use his hero props, or words to that effect. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And by that you meant he wanted to use the real, for example, the real revolver?
That was my understanding of his the way he liked to perform. Yes, sir.
Okay. And would that also include, sir, the knife? Those kind of, is that what you're meaning by hero props?
My recollection is Mr. Baldwin always wanted to be ready to call rolling when he was ready. So hero props in his wardrobe, mm-hmm. essentially ready to go.
Okay. And everybody else had to be ready to go when he was ready.
Yes.
Okay. So that, sir, it was your understanding, you may have said this, and I just want to go back over it, but that Mr. Baldwin did not, that scene or that rehearsal did not require the draw. Was that your understanding?
My understanding was it was really just the initiation of that movement was the part of the story that Joel Souza wanted to tell.
Okay. And that, I think you called it an extreme close-up shot of his hand?
Correct.
Coming out, okay. So it would be coming out of his holster, and there would be an extreme close-up on that.
Correct. The frame would have been essentially his right hand going into his coat to draw his firearm.
Okay, sir. Okay, Your Honor, may I have just a moment? Yeah. Your Honor, that's all the questions we have.
Redirect.
Mr. Audiego, if you are aware, are you the only person suing Mr. Baldwin and Russ Productions?
Not from my understanding.
There are others, correct?
Correct.
And Mr. Bowles asked you in your lawsuit, you claimed that you have lost enjoyment of your life as a result of the incident. Is that correct?
Yes, it is absolutely correct.
Just to be clear, did you receive a subpoena for your testimony today?
I believe that my counsel received a subpoena from both sides for today, yes.
Do you know, sir, did anyone force Ms. Gutierrez to accept a job as an armorer and props assistant?
Force her? Not that I'm aware of, no.
Do you know if anyone forced Ms. Gutierrez to continue working on the set of Rust? When things were chaotic and difficult?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Is Mr. Baldwin on trial today?
It appears that he is a bit, yes.
I'm asking you, is this the trial of Mr. Baldwin?
No, it's not.
Is this the trial of Rust Productions?
No, it's not.
Is Mr. Halls on trial today?
He is not.
On October 21st, 2021, did Ms. Gutierrez show the dummy rounds to the cast and crew, as you have indicated is proper safety protocol for armorers?
Not when I was on set, no.
Did Ms. Gutierrez shake the dummy rounds for the cast and crew?
Not when I was on set, no.
If Ms. Gutierrez had shown the dummy rounds to the cast and crew, what do you think would have happened?
Your Honor, we object to speculation.
If he has an opinion, if he knows based upon his personal knowledge.
In your opinion, working on this movie set with Ms. Gutierrez and working on other movie sets with other armors, if she had taken the dummies, rattled them, showed them to the cast and crew, do you think that live round would have been discovered?
No.
You don't?
Oh, pardon me. Had we looked at all of the ammo, we would have known whether it was dummies or live.
Who made the decision not to show the cast and crew the dummy rounds prior to handing the gun to anyone in the church?
I would guess the armor, or...
Again, he's just guessing.
All right. That's his answer. He guessed, so we'll strike it. Okay? He guessed.
Is it your understanding that Ms. Gutierrez loaded that gun?
It is.
Sorry, did you all hear me? Because my mic was off. Yes, you're all saying yes. Okay.
In your opinion, would Ms. Hutchins be alive today if Ms. Gutierrez had not put a live round in the gun?
Again, I'm going to check.
I'm going to strike that. You didn't get an answer, so.
All right. Who is the person on the set of a movie who is in charge of firearms?
Asked and answered.
Sustained.
Do you know why your civil lawsuit doesn't include Ms. Gutierrez?
You'd have to refer to my counsel for that answer. I don't know.
Have you testified today in order to further your civil lawsuit?
I've testified today to bring justice for the death of my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Nothing further.
All right, you're excused. Thank you, sir. All right, we're going to break for the evening. Follow the bailiff directions. Please don't talk among yourselves or anyone else about the evidence received here in court. Don't read anything about production, this case. Don't look anything up. Don't do any research. Thank you. Where were you going to, Brian, did you have him in a different location in the morning?
No. Okay.
All right. So downstairs, 8:30, okay? Thank you.
All rise for the jury.
George, were you going to follow? Yes, thank you.
More raw courtroom audio from the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial is on the way.
Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment.
From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.